Well, good morning, friends. Good morning, Nexus, and happy new year. Here we are, 2022, and whoo, off to quite the start, aren't we? And of course, New Year's is a season, right, where I think even the most skeptical among us, we can't help but consider setting some kind of expectations or goals for the year ahead. And listen, far be it from me to offer any sort of advice or tips on New Year's resolutions. I can't think of a single resolution I've made over the years that I haven't broke at some point. But this morning, what I want to do is I want to offer my own intention, maybe a semantics game here, but my own intention for this year, 2022. And it actually has its genesis in the Christmas story. And no doubt, now that it's January 2nd, most of us are probably already packed up Christmas, moving on with the year, Christmas behind us for another year. But of course, according to the church calendar, Christmas is not a day, it's actually a season. It's 12 days. And so the 12 days of Christmas don't end till January 5th, which if you've already broken a resolution, that's good news for you. You can start again on January 6th. But while we're still in the 12 days of Christmas, I thought I'd do another just quick reflection on my intention for the new year, while at the same time reflecting, of course, on something that comes to us from the Christmas story. This year marked a very important milestone for our family because, you see, this was the first year that our kids spent their own money buying Christmas gifts for everyone else in the family. You know, most years before, you know, I'd take the kids out, buy them something for mom or whatever. But this year, they all spent a little bit of their own money, took $20 out of the piggy bank, whatever it was, and bought a little something for everyone in the family. And I was so excited because they got to pick it out. And so we'd finally get to see what kind of gift givers are these children of mine. What did they end up with here? And so Christmas morning, I was excited. Zoe was the first to give me her present. She was beaming with pride as she brought it to me because I'm always a guy looking for a pen or pencil, jot down things, underline in a book. And I'm always never can find a pen or pencil. And so her gift to me was a packet of mechanical pencils. Very practical, very lovely. I was very happy with it. Can't wait to use them. Next, it was Huxley who brought his gift to me. And oh boy, did he ever impress and surprise. He got me a beer. Now, I'm assuming somebody else bought it for him, but got me a beer for Christmas. What a pleasant surprise that was. Son after my own heart, you could say. And then it was time for Evie, of course, to bring me her presents. And she had this wry smile, a little twinkle in her eye. She brought this package over to me on Christmas morning, and I opened it up, and there were these socks. She had got me socks, and I thought, well, that's great. Everybody can use an extra pair of socks, I suppose. But as I investigated the socks a little more closely, I realized that on them was the emblem of Dr. Seuss's The Grinch. And she looked at me with these socks, these Grinch socks, and she said, I got these for you because you're a Grinch. A Grinch? Me, a Grinch? It was a funny moment, to be sure, on Christmas morning. Bless their hearts, Zoe gets me a practical gift. Huxley gets me this gift that's a pleasurable gift. And Evie, though, she seeks out something, a gift, to speak toward the nature of my character, you could say. And the reality is this, is she isn't wrong. I think I am a bit of a Grinch, or at least as the years go by, you could say, I find it easier and easier to slip right into Grinch mode. You know, I'm often grumpy at the state of the world. I'm grumpy at the mess that we're in all over the world. I'm grumpy oftentimes with other people. My guess is, though, this. I don't know if I'm alone. Maybe I'm a bit more Grinchy than others. I don't know, but a bit more of a curmudgeon. But my guess is I'm not alone, because I think life for many of us, particularly as we get older, its experiences is stressful. Life is difficult. Fewer things surprise us in life. More things start to frustrate us in life. And over time, a certain cynicism sets in, a jadedness with the world, you could say. And I know that has happened for me. Of course, Christmas Eve, the hours between 9 p.m. and midnight are to me perhaps some of the most holy, sacred hours of a calendar year. I love Christmas Eve. And this Christmas Eve in particular, before I got the Grinch socks, I was watching every year a group of musicians They do a busk in Dublin, a group of Irish musicians. They do a busking thing in Ireland to raise money for the homeless. And I was watching part of that, and it was again making me reflect on the Christmas story. And as I thought about the state of my own grinchy soul, and as I thought about those socks and where I'm headed as a person, I thought again of the Christmas story, and something stuck out to me about it, especially in the Luke version. We read this: "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." There's something about this portion of the Christmas story that I so love. These shepherds, right? They come to visit the Christ child born in this barn-like environment. And as they leave the scene, right, we're told that Mary is left pondering the meaning of it all. After all that has happened, she's left pondering on the wonder of it all. And then we hear, of course, that the shepherds, as they return to their fields, they tell everyone what they had seen. And everyone who they tell wonders at what they've heard. There's this sense, the very first Christmas, that the whole thing is marked by wonder. Wonder is defined this way: wonder, a feeling of surprise mingled with admiration caused by something beautiful, unexpected, unfamiliar, or inexplicable. Now, the experience of wonder is a very unique human phenomenon, you could say. The rest of the animal kingdom doesn't experience wonder in the same way that humans do. Goats and cats, they don't ponder things up in their heart. They don't look up at the stars and ask themselves deep questions about identity or the meaning of life. You don't see animals flocking, right, like tourists to some place like the Grand Canyon or Niagara Falls to take in and behold some majestic, sublime object of nature, right? You don't see that in the animal kingdom, right? And it's uniquely human, a sense of wonder. And I would argue that this wonder is more than just uniquely human. It's innate to who we are. It's an innate feature of being human. We come predisposed to wonder. I mean, consider children, right? Of course, they can't help but inhabit a world of wonder. I mean, virtually everything in those early years to children can be awe-inspiring to them. I mean, ask yourself this: when was the last time you got excited by the recycling truck coming to pick up the goods that you're recycling, right? I mean, never, probably, right? But as kids, I mean, I know for my own kids, for years, you could set your watch by it. When the truck came by on Thursday, the kids so excited, "The truck is coming, oh my goodness," and they'd wait by the window here and just watch the truck do its thing. And of course, their favorite thing is when the guy loads it into the side and then the machine takes it up and dumps it into some cavern of recycling back in the truck there. It's a moment of wonder from them. What is this magical machinery which takes away things in this fantastic fashion? I mean, something as simple as that can be a moment of wonder. Or in the backyard, right, they find a snail, and it's like they've discovered the Garden of Eden in their backyard, and yet as we grow as adults, the backyard becomes not a fantastic place of adventure. It becomes just, well, I gotta mow the lawn, right? Somewhere between childhood and adulthood, something happens along the way. Something is lost. Our capacity for wonder shrinks and sometimes even vanishes. Children have abounding vitality because they are in spirit fierce and free. Grown-up people are not strong enough to exult in monotony, for we have sinned and grown old. We have sinned and grown old, which to me has a certain irony to it, right? Because as children, if you can remember back to when you're a child or think of your own children, there's nothing you want more as a child than to grow old, to grow up, right? I mean, ask a young child their age and it cracks me up. Like, how old are you? Well, I'm 4 and a half, right? I'm 4 and a half. I'm not 4. There's a half attached there. It's like, I just want to get to 5 or 6 or 7. And it's this beautiful thing because children desperately want to grow up because they sense in adulthood a life of unimagined freedom, you could say. It's like, when I'm old, when I'm grown up, I can eat cookies for breakfast if I want. I can watch TV all the time if I want and stay up past my bedtime. And they're not wrong, right? Adulthood does bring incredible freedom. We can, if we want, eat cookies for breakfast. We can watch all the TV that we want, but that freedom is not always all that it's cracked up to be. I mean, I don't know how about you, but have you ever had that moment when you've been watching Netflix, like the same show for like 4 hours, and it's just scrolling to the next episode, and that thing pops up in your screen? I can't remember exactly what it says, but essentially it's like, hello, are you there? Because if you've just been watching TV dormant on your couch for this long, it's kind of pathetic. We want to give you the benefit of a doubt and assume you fell asleep. But if you haven't and you've just been sitting this long watching TV, you're going to have hit a button to keep watching. I hate when that pops up. It's like, yes, Netflix, I'm still here. Just keep playing the show, right? But freedom as adult is not all that it's cracked up to be, because at the same time, adulthood brings the grind of responsibility in life, and can so easily, the grind of responsibility can so easily kill wonder. Something happens over time. Our sense of wonder is lost. It evaporates. Now, if you were to ask me, Brad, what is the best song of 2021? I would say, well, I'm so glad that you asked that, because, but reflecting on a song lately, it's really caught my attention because it just speaks so powerfully to me. And the Killers, the band The Killers, over the past 2 years, they've released two albums. Their second, the one they released in 2020, I think is a masterpiece, but they released another one this year, Reflection on the Lead Singer's Hometown. And it's also incredibly gorgeous, particularly in parts. And there's one particular song called The Pressure Machine. It speaks, of course, to, well, the pressure of daily life. And it captures in it something just absolutely gorgeous. I would encourage you, look it up. The Killers, Pressure Machine, YouTube. But some of the lines here really speak to me about just the way life sort of beats us down over time. Consider these lyrics. Don't you feel the time slipping away? It ain't funny at all. It's going to break your heart one day. Because every year goes by faster than the one before. And life will grow you a big red rose, then rip it from beneath your nose and run it through the pressure machine and spit you out a name tag memory. There's a grind to life that as time slips away and the big red rose, you could say, of wonder we experience with this world, it's ripped from beneath our noses, ripped from beneath us. And I think most of us sort of take this loss as something inevitable. We grow up, that's just what happens. It's a part of the aging process. But I know for my intention for 2022 is to fight that. Because I'm inclined to think this life with all the wonder crushed out of it, it isn't real life at all. It is life that's like compressed into mere existence. And I think perhaps many of us have felt that way over the past 2 years. We're not living. This is mere existence. And I think that if we're the kind of people, and I hope we are, that pay attention to our souls, the rhythm of our souls, is what we'll realize is that merely existing is a life of void of wonder, and it's a spiritual disaster for us. Because what inevitably ends up happening is we surrender our souls, right, to cheap and mindless distractions and entertainment and chemical sedation, you could say. And I know for me, as I, you know, I stared at my Grinch socks that Christmas morning, I could see it. It was funny. I appreciated Evie was joking around, but I could see and can sense the trajectory I'm heading on. I know that's where I'm heading, to be the crotchety old man, the Grinch, the grumpy old guy. Some might even say, part of my family, maybe I've already arrived there. But for me, it's worth asking the question, particularly at the dawn of a new year, how do we avoid ending up becoming a jaded, cynical, old curmudgeon as we age? How do we resist becoming the old grump, the Grinch? And I truly believe the answer is to reclaim our sense of wonder. To do so is to reclaim a part of our humanity who we're innately created to be. It's to connect to the divine spark within us, you could say. And to me, this is not some sort of just inconsequential task, right? Like, this is not about, okay, is the outcome merely about a level of grumpiness as we age and get older? No, there's more at stake here. And I found it fascinating. In 2017, The Atlantic published a series of scientific findings on the experience of wonder and what it does to us as humans. And the findings were absolutely remarkable. Having experiences of wonder, tapping into wonder regularly, it makes our lives more spiritual. It makes us feel more universally connected to other humans. It shrinks our ego, which is a good thing. It makes us kinder, tangibly kinder. It makes us feel as though time is more precious and plentiful. It makes us more generous. We're more willing to give, and it dramatically increases our overall life satisfaction. To know wonder is to know what it means to truly live and be alive. And, you know, I think there are two things in particular that evoke the experience of wonder within us. And it's my intention this year, at least, to tap into those more. Those two things are these: beauty and mystery. Consider the multiple ways we can experience beauty in this world. Take music, for instance, right? I mean, consider some of these quotes about music and how they get at the absolute power music has to evoke wonder. I love these. From J.K. Rowling, "Ah, music, a magic beyond all we do here." Or Khalil Gibran says, "Music is the language of the spirit. It opens the secret of life, bringing peace, abolishing strife." Maria von Trapp, of course, "Music acts like a magic key to which the most tightly closed heart opens." Music, it has a way of tapping us into the beauty of our world, opening us up to a sense of wonder. You know, sometimes we lose that. Music becomes this background thing we do while we're working out, or background music. It becomes less of a sort of form of meditation, you could say, something to concentrate on. I was reminded of something Chris and I used to do. We haven't done it in a while. I want to reclaim it. Years ago, we would sit, a Friday evening it might be, and it would be just us listening to music with a bottle of wine, and we would each play for each other our favorite songs, and the whole evening would just be basking in the beauty of wine and music. There's something about music when we search it out, when we allow it to move us, when we tap into it, it has a way of evoking a sense of wonder like few other things can. That's the way of beauty. Or consider the nature of art, right? Whether we create art or whether we sort of look at art, whether it's films, a piece of art itself, art has a powerful way. And I love these words from Stella Adler. She says this: "Life beats down and crushes the soul, and art reminds you that you have one." Art has a way of awakening us to a world of wonder. Find yourself in a museum this year, whenever we're allowed to go to a museum. But art, whether it's a great piece of film, not you know, the candy pop movies, but something deep, something that reflects our soul back to us. My intention this year is to find more beauty through art. Or consider nature. Nature to me is like an alarm clock. And when we find ourselves in nature, it's like an alarm clock going off, awakening us to wonder. You know, I first encountered mountains in the year 2000. I traveled in the Swiss Alps, and I was just blown away by it. And again, in 2004, I was visiting my brother in Victoria and got to see a bit of the Canadian Rockies, but it had been almost 20 years since I'd seen the mountains until this past summer we traveled out there. And I told Kristen if we were going out to the Rockies, I had one sort of condition. I wanted to rent a room, at least for a couple of days, where we had a great view of the mountains. Nothing obstructing our view, nothing in front of us, right? And so we had this great view of Mount Rundle from this one place we were staying, and there was a balcony, and we would just sit out, Kristen and I, after the kids went to bed every night, and stare at Mount Rundle. And we'd sit there, sometimes chatting, sometimes in silence together, just staring at this mountain for hours until it got pitch black and you couldn't see anything, just staring there. There's something about nature that's just moving. It taps into something so deep within us. And, you know, that's where this sense of wonder comes from. Why do we hike? Why do we climb mountains, right? Because we wonder what it's like to be up there. We wonder what it's like to be in a mountain meadow. That's the reason we go searching for things. We wonder about them and then go in search of answers. There's something about nature, and I don't know about you, but living close to downtown, hey, I enjoy it here, but I know, I can sense within me, my intention this year is to be in the woods, be in nature more often. And why? Because it can wake something within us, that sense of wonder we need to be human. Or consider mystery. We need a sense of mystery in life. It's essential to who we are as humans. And man, some fascinating things have happened in the past few weeks that are just igniting this sense of mystery within me. I hope it is you too. Like, we just launched, right? What's this? The James Webb Telescope, right? And its mission is to seek out light from the very first stars and galaxies in our universe. And they hope, right, that by doing this, it might provide a glimpse into cosmic creation. Its goal is to delve deeper into the mysteries of the cosmos. Or, I don't know if you heard about this. Boy, I'm excited about this one. But the Chinese rover, they sent a rover to the moon, to the dark side of the moon, the side of the moon we can't see, right? And in the news recently, it has spotted in the distance this thing that looks like some sort of intelligent design structure. Now, it's pretty grainy. It might end up being a rock. But for now, it has me just basking in the mystery. They call it the mystery hut. And it's only about 80 meters away from the rover, but it's going to take the rover about 2 to 3 months to get to this thing in the distance to investigate what it is. But oh boy, am I hoping it's like a shed from Home Depot set up there, and we'll all be like, what does this mean? We don't know. Why is there something on the dark side of the moon? But boy, am I excited about that. Or consider this one, folks. I'm not even kidding. This headline is for real. It's from this week. It read this: NASA has enlisted theologians to prepare for alien interactions. I'm not kidding you. NASA has hired 24 theologians from the Center for Theological Inquiry at Princeton and brought them on board, hired them to interact and help think through what it might mean to interact with aliens. I mean, are you kidding me? Does somebody know something out there the rest of us don't know? But the idea, if you read the article, is the sense that what are some of the questions that religions have been wrestling with for hundreds, thousands of years, and how might science and technology interact with that, particularly in the face of the possibility of intelligent life elsewhere in the universe? I mean, whew, boy, would I have loved to be on that panel, but hey, what can you do? But friends, this is what I mean. I mean, when we start digging, there's so much more out there. The truth is out there. You know, there's so much more to our universe and world than we know. And when we allow ourselves to be opened up to the mystery of our cosmos, it evokes a sense of wonder and taps us into what it means to be truly human. Wonder, a feeling of surprise mingled with admiration caused by something beautiful, unexpected, unfamiliar, or inexplicable. You know, we've come a long way this morning from, you know, starting to Jesus' birth to talking about aliens. I get it, beauty, mystery. But from a faith perspective, the journey back into wonder begins with a greater appreciation, I would say, for the greatest wonder of them all. The Word became flesh and lived among us. It's a mystery, the incarnation. It's a source of beauty that, when you dwell on it, is absolutely beyond comprehension. If we would allow ourselves to truly ponder it, revel in it, it can become again for us a fresh source of wonder. You know, again, I was mentioning, I was watching the busk, and Bono, of course, was one of the buskers at this Christmas Eve Ireland, and you've got to check out the busk. Just Google that or YouTube it, because Bono starts with reflecting on the incarnation before the piece that he does. And I love the words that he says. Bono says this: I think it is an extraordinary thing that if there is a force of love and logic behind the world, behind the universe, and I believe there is, that it should describe itself as a child born in shit and straw. When you think about that, it is a mystery. Mind-blowing and beautiful. And I think the key to wonder in any good, serious theology begins with wondering at the mystery of the incarnation, taking it seriously. And, you know, I saw my niece Clementine for the first time in like 6 months over Christmas, and she was sitting on the floor, and I had this moment just watching her while some family was interacting. I was just watching her sit there on the floor, this I think she's 9 months old, something like that, and sitting on the floor as a baby and every toy in her hand, just stuffing it in her mouth, looking around and thinking, my goodness, God became that. A babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. This is God? This is a God that will need to learn to walk and to read. I mean, how, I can't help but contemplate the mystery. Like, when does Jesus become self-aware that Jesus is God, right? The Jesus path insists Jesus is fully God, fully human. At what point does that click for Jesus? If Jesus fully human, it certainly wasn't when he was a baby, right? He would have the self-awareness of any other baby. And all we know is that Jesus grows in wisdom, and we don't know when it happens. But the idea alone that the source of all life and all vitality and light and love, the source of all of it, describing itself, expressing itself as a vulnerable baby, is a mystery beyond what we can fathom. I'm inclined to think, for those serious about contemplation, it's something that can sustain a lifetime of wonder and fascination and move us and feed us into further fields of wonder and exploration. The Jesus path is an invitation, I would say, back into wonder. It's the call to repentance, you could say, from sinning and growing old and becoming a Grinch and curmudgeon. It calls us back to a path of wonder. And so that is my intention for this year. I thought I'd start the year with sharing where I'm at. And so this year, may our intentions be to find our way back to wonder. May you find wonder through music and art and beauty and nature and mystery. May you seek those things out, make them a part of your life. May you find yourself this year with many moments of wonder and mystery, and may you find the source of your wonder in the greatest mystery, the most beautiful thing known to all of us, the mystery of the incarnation. As we close the Christmas season for another year and move into 2022, may wonder be with you always. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Nexus friends, amidst all that we are going through these days, Happy New Year, the best 2022 to you, your family, all of us. I hope to see you in person again soon. Until then, go in peace.